For today's podcast, we're in the series Practices and Pictures of the Church. And so I asked Dan, what do some of the personal practices look like? Where can we kind of get off with some of those things? Where is the pendulum of, am I doing these things to please God? And do these practices just, is it life habits? What does it look like to respond to Jesus through these things? So listen in on this conversation. All right, here we are. Story of God Pod.
We're still doing that. Story of God Pod.
Yeah, we at some point we'll need, we've been saying we need to name it for months now, but we'll be finishing the story of God at the end of, in like a month from now. So we really do have to name this.
We're going to need some suggestions.
It's like when you're leaving the hospital, you're like, what are we actually going to name this child? We have to go home, you know, kind of situation. So we are in this chapter of looking at the pictures and practices of the church. So for the last couple of weeks, we looked at these pictures the New Testament gives us, body of Christ, this spiritual building, the body of Christ, family. Did I say family already? But all these different pictures Jesus gives us. And what we're looking at for a couple of weeks, we started looking at baptism and communion this week, is if the pictures are who we are, the practices of what we do, looking at the pictures and practices, what these things that we do as Christians, Christian stuff, right? And you would know this, we've talked about this, that sometimes the, whether it's baptism and communion, whether it's prayer, scripture, telling people about Jesus, everything from fasting to all the things that Christians do, it can feel like these are things that I, do I have to do these things to make God happy? Do I have to do these things to be closer to God? So sometimes we're not really sure what to do with them. What would you say kind of in the pendulum of legalism and then to the other side of, okay, I'm following Jesus. I said yes to him, but what do I do? You know, I've had a conversation with some friends that are new in the faith that are like, what do I do now? So speak to that a little bit. These things that we're called to do, these spiritual practices, for lack of better words, rhythms, habits, spiritual things. We'll talk about these over the next couple of weeks, but talk to that pendulum a little bit.
Yeah, I think the two conversations are vitally connected.
Yeah.
Personally, I think when you know who you are, you'll know what to do, and who you are drives what you do, right? So this last week, if my weeks are running together, but use the illustration of
do you know what year it is right now?
I know, but but you, I think you used, did you not use the illustration of you and Sarah when you got married?
What he's talking about.
Yeah, I think you did. But anyways, I was there that day in front of the big tree. You were a lot younger, yeah. And you know, you talked about, you guys go back and remember that day and all this. But I think about the fact that I'm married to Jennifer, so that is an experience. I am her husband. We're a married couple, and there are practices that flow out of the fact that that is a reality. So the idea of knowing who you are is so important. Who we are, who you are, we're family of God, so therefore there are practices that as a family— we're part of the body of Christ. There are practices because we're part of the body. Each part does its work.
Yeah.
There are practices because we're part of the priesthood. It's what we're called to do. And so I think in my era, Aiden, there, honestly, this is like another generation back. I think there was so much focus on the practices, so little focus on who you are, that people do the practices because it was almost like a ritual.
Yeah.
It was almost legalistic. I'm going to gain favor from God this way.
Right.
That is not what the practices are.
Yeah.
They aren't to gain favor from God. They're not for that at all. They are because they are the result of who I am.
Yeah.
So the practices, but the flip of that is true too. If I am Jennifer's husband, and there's no resulting, right? Our marriage is pretty anemic.
Sure.
If we have a family and we never talk, we never share responsibilities, we never share a meal together, we don't have much of a family.
Yeah.
It's a disintegrating family.
Yeah.
So whereas my generation might have focused on practice, not knowing who they were, I think there can be the, I don't know, danger of, hey, let's focus on who we are. We have no idea what to do in that, no idea how that plays out. And so they go together. The practices that we're talking about are because of the pictures. The, they, somehow the practices flow from who we are. They flow from the presence of those realities in our life. And so they're acts of worship, for lack of a better putting.
That's a good way of putting it. And it's interesting, that pendulum, because they're even now, I look at my generation, maybe even a little bit younger than me, there's a hunger to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And what a beautiful tradition that for thousands of years, followers of Jesus, out of an overflow of the gospel, out of an overflow of who Jesus is and what he's invited us into, that he gives us a way to live. It gives us, not like, here, keep yourself busy till I come back, but participating with Christ mm-hmm. in this life specifically. A little inside baseball. When you think about your own walk with Jesus, you've been following Jesus. Dan turned 60 recently. 60 years young. You've been following Jesus for a couple minutes. What are some of the things that have been anchors for you? I love how you said, as part of the priesthood, there's practices. As part of the body, there's practices. As part of the family, there's practices. Mm-hmm. What have just been, give us a little peek inside the life of Dan. What are some of the things that have been anchors for you, ways that have helped you to live in relationship and friendship with God over the years, maybe even in this current season, would you say?
So to correct, or not to correct something, but to fill something out, I am 60. But I met with a little girl this last week, and she said her grandpa was 50. And I asked her, I said, wow, that's incredible. I said, how old do you think I am? She said, you look 47. So I take that all day long.
You look the same age as the day I met you.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question, because I think, I don't know that we share that stuff enough.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of people like, what do you do?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
And it can feel either like a competition.
Yeah.
Sometimes, or it can feel guilty that I'm not doing what that person's doing.
Yeah.
And if we're not honest about it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because of the relationship that we have with our Father in heaven, for me, Aiden, like the way that would express itself is, for me, the first hours of the morning are time when I spend with him. And so for me, the way that looks is I want to hear what he has to say. And so that for me is time in the word. And that, you know, I hear people, you know, they have different ways of doing it. And I think for me and my personality, I have to do it different ways.
Yeah.
So some people, they do it the same way for 50 years. That's awesome. For me, I have to do that different ways. I have to use an exercise term, confuse my muscles a little bit. Like, yeah. And so, you know, I've read through the Bible in a year. That's awesome. Then occasionally, like I'm in the middle of a thing right now where, you know, 30 days through the New Testament. And then occasionally I'll use a devotional book. I took Alistair Begg's book last year and went through the Bible with it. And, but for me, it starts with that, it's not just my Bible time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God, what do you want to say to me today? I feel like you want to speak to me, so what do you want to say to me? And then the reciprocal is, for me, what do I want to communicate? So I think prayer is practicing his presence all day long.
Yeah.
But for me, in the morning, there's this concentrated time. So when I think about Jennifer, in my relationship with Jennifer, I think about her presence in my life. She's part of my life all day long. And then there's times we go on dates or we sit at dinner and talk. They're intentional times.
Yeah.
For me, with God, that's in the morning. So part of that for me, part of the practices that for me, because of who I am, I believe I'm a trophy of grace, that I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm a sinner who's been saved by grace. And so part of the practice for me, I think Jesus helps us with this, is to ask God to examine my heart.
Hmm.
And I honestly, I think that the deeper we go in that, the more aware of our own sinfulness we become, and the more astounding his grace is.
Yeah,
that's a practice for me. Doesn't sound like a fun practice, but if it can take, so it can lead you to guilt. Right, and you can just spend the rest of the day slinking around, or it can leave you astounded by his grace. And there's something about that that I don't want to lose. I'm a trophy of his grace. I am a child in his family. So I want to pull a seat up to the table. Hmm. And I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I used to use this illustration. Aaron, when he was little, I used to come home and says, "What are we doing, Dad?" Like he didn't care what we were doing. He just wanted to do what I was doing. Well, for me, it's pulling the seat up and say, "What are we doing, Father? Hmm. What are you doing? I want to be about what you're doing." So I want this reciprocal thing to happen. Because I believe I'm part of a body, a family, for me, part of the practices are the gatherings on Sunday. But I have, for most of my adult life, been a part of some group of others. So right now, the way it expresses itself in my life is, you know, I have two groups of guys that I get together with. And I don't know if they watch. I do know some of them watch this. We call ourselves the Band of Brothers, you know, and we sit and we talk about Scripture together, each other's lives together. One of those groups, every morning, we text each other, say, "Praying for you," because we believe we're in this family together, because we believe we're... And then maybe another, I mean, so those are some of the practices. Yeah. One of the things for me that, you know, I pray for my unsaved friends and neighbors, because I believe I'm part of the priesthood of believers.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I believe God has placed me in the neighborhood I am, in the relationship on purpose.
Yeah.
And so because of who I am, there's resulting practices that happen. The other thing about being part of groups to me, like, you know, we're part of a group. We work together, whatever and whatnot. I know I need sharpened. I know I need, like I so appreciate how God has wired me and, you know, gifted me and all that. But I also have so many deficiencies and things that I'm not good at and things that, you know, I haven't thought through. And so I know I need others, and part of my practice would be connecting with others because this thing is not a solo journey.
Yeah.
There's a beauty to that. So, I mean, so that is some for me. My time in the morning, just to fill this out, maybe a little, you said insider baseball. I don't do this every morning, but I journal my prayers.
Hmm.
So I like write letters to God, basically. And my wife and I have an agreement, and I've done this for probably 15, 20 years, that when I die, she burns them, man. Because I'm gut-level honest with God in those journals.
I'm going to fire Aiden.
Yeah.
No, I'll keep him. Yeah. Lord, I...
Yeah, that 1 year, sweetheart, to fire the... Yeah, how about you? Like, how's it play out in your life?
It's great. I love that you said, like, we don't talk about it enough. And we all go through different seasons, you know what I mean, where there's things that resonate. And I'm sure that every morning when you're praying for unsaved friends, you're spending time in the Word, you're not like feeling like heaven's showing up and you're crying and you're, sometimes you lift weights because you're like, I just want to keep building the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep these people in front of me. I want to keep the Lord in front of me. I think about that. We're at different stages of life too. You know, I have little people that wake up way too early.
And interrupt. Yeah, in other words, you're not 60. I'm not. What you're saying. Yeah.
Not yet. My knees feel 60 every once in a while. Yeah, the muscle confusion thing makes a lot of sense. There's certain things, I'm pretty convinced that there's things that we just need to do regardless of if we feel like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk to a lot of people that read through the Bible, like, yeah, I'm going through this. It's a little confusing. I'm like, yep, keep going. Put a question mark and just keep going. Mm-hmm. It's the practice of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about just doing it. So, different stage. I am genuinely not good at sitting down and staying focused for a very long time. I don't know. And so sometimes, and when it's warmer, being able to walk and just talk to the Lord under my breath is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little notepad that right now, like, it's something different every couple of weeks. Right now I have just a little legal pad that sits on my desk, and I just bullet point out conversations I've had with people, things I told people I'd be praying for during the week, things I'm asking the Lord for. And it's just a notepad that's on my desk. And I'm like, "Sarah, can you not read that?" She's like, "Yeah, I won't read it." But that sits there. There's a lot of time. I told Sarah recently, I'm like, I think I need to stop praying so early. You like, you get up early and you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. I like to get up early, but I'm usually mad. So for so long, I'm like, me and the Lord are just wrestling. And I'm like, I think I just probably should wait till I'm awake to talk to the Lord. So that takes different forms. Just that, like, when I'm down at my desk or on my walk in the morning, this is Jesus time. Mm-hmm. And whether that is like, I feel like I had real clear thoughts, whether the scripture made a lot of sense to me, I want to be in it. Right now, I'm just going slowly through the Psalms, just read a Psalm mm-hmm. each morning. I got a new Bible after 10 years. And so I'm like, I just want to start to mark this up. So we're doing a Psalm in the morning. The groups thing is super important. They're, the practice of hearing people's stories. Mm-hmm. And I can, and you know this about me, I can tend towards cynicism a lot. And the biggest counter to that is hearing other people's stories. Mm-hmm. So being in group, and when I'm talking to one of my other dudes, I meet with some guys on Thursday mornings and some young couples on Mondays, and hearing their stories, hearing how the Lord's working in their life, hearing the questions, you're like, oh yeah, the gathering with people. Like, obviously we work here, we're here each week, but I love that time of hearing people sing, of seeing different people in the church with different stories, when we celebrate baptisms and seeing how Lord's all of those things, the practice mm-hmm. of gathering, we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, I think is important. I also think there's different things that are important in different seasons. There's almost like your core, like scripture and prayer, like those are core things. We did a series on this years ago. We should probably do one again. But we talk about things like celebrating, like the practices of celebrating together. Like our group, just last night, it was the end of the year, we had a cookout. And I was talking to my wife this morning, and we just had some great conversations with people. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of just celebrating, being together, closing out the year. Mm-hmm. And there were some really fruitful conversations. And then there's other times to withdraw and be by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a practice, and for many of us, like putting your phone down and having some of these things so you can be quiet. So I think of young families, where there's probably a lot of serving and sacrifice and tiredness going on. Might need some opportunities to celebrate, might need some opportunities to withdraw. Think of those things. Sometimes the practices of, it's encouraging to me to hear other stories of both the people in my community, but also just, you kind of have your personal, I don't know, saints or so, I don't know, like your mentors in books as well, that you mm-hmm. hear their struggles. Those things are helpful. You know what I mean? To hear other stories of faith throughout time. So I try to stay attached to those things. It's helpful for my soul. Mm-hmm. I was asking you a question. I wasn't thinking about it as much. Yeah. But right now, I'm just,
those are good though.
Just verbally processing some of
it. Yeah, you said something that I thought. I think there can we can almost try to systemize all mm-hmm. this, and it's like I actually think that's not necessary.
Yeah.
There are some people that are introverted.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be great at meditation and solitude and time alone. What's that?
I fall asleep.
Yeah, me too. but they're going to be like, oh, I don't need others. I don't need the church. And so for them, that might be the muscle. Like, hey, I need to work that muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just meeting with a physical therapist, and, you know, we're working on some different things, and he works muscle. Like, I grew up playing football, so we work the big muscles, right? You bench press and you do all that stuff.
Same.
He's like, you're the same?
Yeah. No,
I kind of looked at it and thought that.
That's why I'm wearing this jacket, covering my biceps.
I kind of thought that. But he's working muscles that I never thought about, you know?
Right.
And I think the same, you know, like if I'm introverted, it's like I probably need to work harder at saying I need others.
Yeah,
like you need others.
Yeah.
And vice versa, though, I think if you're extremely extroverted, you're always with people, you may need to go take a walk by yourself or sit by the lake.
Yeah,
like there's just things like that. And then I think different seasons of life,
right,
you got to just be aware of. Like when our kids are little, like I'm in the same boat, like I'm like, I don't know, I'm trying to get through the morning. Did everybody get on the bus? Did everybody have a lunch? Did everybody, you know? Whereas my wife and I are in a season now where 3-4 days a week we'll take a walk. And so in the morning, 3-mile walk, and we enjoy that. And we decided together, what a great time to pray for our kids and grandkids. And so when we're walking, you talked about praying under your breath, we just pray out loud for all of our kids, their spouses, grandkids, her mom, and then some people in our life that don't know Jesus, we just pray for. We're in a season of life. We're like, hey, we enjoy, we talk, share conversation with each other. Then we talk together to God about people that matter to us. I think you just got to be aware of seasons of life will afford different things. I don't think God's up there like, you know, Aiden, you wake up angry in the morning. You don't, you know, I did notice that. But anyways, you wake up angry in the morning.
If you know me, you know it's true.
You know, I think there's this sense to which if we see it as a relationship, he knows how we're wired.
Yeah.
He knows all that stuff. He knows the season we're in. And I think what he longs for, the practices somehow remind me of the power of the gospel. The practices are rehearsing, to use your words this last week, a picture of the gospel. Yeah. And the practices for me, let's just go three P's, also push us, remind us of the presence of God in our life. Like, if the practices are void of those things, they just, I don't know, they become whatever.
It's become routines for healthy living.
Right. But if I'm like, oh, man, I'm just all about, and there's no practices, I'm like, I don't know, how's that working out?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so the early church had practices.
Right.
You know, and so I would say to people, like, if you've never been to a communion service, for instance, okay, you talked about that.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know, that sounded kind of weird what he explained. You know, I would come. Like even if you're like, I don't want to participate in it all, because the practices keep in our face and rehearse these beautiful, powerful truths in community that we have.
There is a sweet, it can feel like, is that just like another service where we sing and do some stuff? It is a sweet time together, the communion service, because it really is just a spirit to which we're looking at the fullness of Christ with one another in a unique context. And it really is. It's in to be part of something that the church has been practicing, has been doing together for thousands of years is, there's power there. I love how you said, and I think this is important for us listening, our personalities, it doesn't mean like, oh, I don't pray because I'm an extrovert. Like there's essentials, you know, you got to drink your water, eat your Wheaties and move around if you're going to survive, you know, but to how that looks like our personalities, our season of life, and then being honest about things. Like if I'm being honest, there's seasons where I just find my prayers just wrestling with the Lord. Like if you were to read through it, you're like, you guys okay? And that, you know, just being honest, like, it's not like, dear heavenly savior, here is me. You know, I that's not how I feel all the time. And so their honesty about where we're at and almost wrestling into Jesus in those things when we are quote unquote not feeling it. I think that's the endurance that actually Pastor Jonathan's going to talk about soon. And so it's a unique thing to wrestle with. We're not earning God's favor. We're not being quote unquote more spiritual or better Christians. We're living out the relationship that Jesus has bought his blood and invited us into. Some of those things are corporate things we do together, baptism, communion, prayer, singing. Some of those are individual things. Some of those are things that are enjoyable for us. Some of those are things that, to use your language, works muscles that I wouldn't want to work on my own or think on my own. But the grid of all of that, it's probably a nice YX axis that all these been mapped on. That is just good for us to, they become avenues for us to experience his grace in our daily life.
You know, I think I agree with all that, and I think it's easy to talk about the practices and talk, read your Bible, pray, go to church, get in a group, serve, like it, all great, awesome, right? I think it's just even broader than that sometimes, though. I'll just give some for instances. Like, I think some of the practices for me are to practice looking for God in the ordinary.
Yep.
Because I think we're like infatuated with the extraordinary, like with the big, and it's like, or to spot God in the routine. You said something earlier, like if somebody has a question, I don't get that, or it's not like every day reading my Bible is like this angelic course, you know, like, oh, this isn't powerful. I heard it put this way. It's like eating food. And there are like I've been eating for 60 years. If you said, tell me all the meals you ate, I'm like, I don't know. But I am the result of eating meals for 60 years.
Yeah.
Now, if you told me to tell you about some of those meals, I'm like, oh, yeah, my wife cooked this incredible. And when I was growing up, my mom used to make this wonder. Like, I could tell you that, but I am the result of, right? I think the practice of asking people questions, being curious, to get to your point about they're made in the image of God. And so when you look in their eyes, because I know who I am and because I know who they are, I want to be curious. And, there's something that happens. Like, you and I sat on somebody's porch here recently and just asking questions. And you get to know somebody's story and see life through their eyes in a unique way. And so I think the practices of read the Bible, pray, but there's these intangible ones as well that – and you can find God in the ordinary, like when you're out with your two boys and they're like, they catch a frog and you're like...
They caught a frog last night.
Did they? Look at that. See?
You prophet.
And you're like, and they're like, Daddy, look at this. And then somehow you see God in the ordinary, the creator of that frog.
Yeah.
It's like there's something powerful with that.
That I could talk about that all day long. That is sometimes what becomes an anchor for me in the faith. And it's not at all like God is the universe. Not at all. It's way better than that. It's that the man Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, all things were created through him and for him, and all things hold together. And it's in him that we live and move and have our being. And so that's what, while we're washing the dishes and taking care of kids and striving to be healed of something as dramatic as striving to be healed from our wounds, to being grateful for the sandwich that we're eating, like Christ is in all. I heard a guy recently say, I had learned to pay attention to Jesus in the places I expected him to be. And now he's teaching me to see him in the places I didn't realize that he was. And he talked about how Jesus was using his young boys to kind of to help reveal to him some of his flaws and his needs and the way that the Father relates to us and all of those things. And what a beautiful invitation in the story, that Christ is in and through all of it. I love it. All right. We'll be back with you next week.
Love it.